We love our horror stories. Just a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated the 200th birthday of the publication of Frankenstein. There have been lots of creepy creatures shuffling down the hallway since Frankenstein's monster took his first walk. And we've expanded the genre over time. Think Rocky Horror Picture Show and even Phantom of the Opera, horror in song and even comedy. Now add puppets. That's what the Rogue Valley-based troupe Puppeteers for Fears does, present horror stories musically, with comedy, with puppets. The show Cthulhu the Musical, with an exclamation point, Cthulhu the Musical, goes on a West Coast tour in the weeks ahead. Two guests, one of whom you know very well, Josh Gross, visits us once a month with Rogue Sounds, and he's the artistic director of Puppeteers for Fears. Good to see you back in the studio.
Good to be back in the studio, Jeffrey.
And Beth Boulay is with us as well. She's the director of Cthulhu the Musical. Is there a certain way you're supposed to say Cthulhu the Musical with that exclamation point?
Cthulhu the Musical!
Yeah. Right. Just think about like jumping in the air and like freeze framing so that you stay up in the air like, ah. That's like, how you'd say it.
Oh, what a feeling. Okay. Yeah. So, but it has to be a horror kind of feeling too.
Like
so,
you've been possessed.
Yeah. Like you're jumping in the air and freezing in the air, but not because you want to, more like because you're being compelled to by evil spirits.
But
like,
in a good
Cthulhu
way.
The Musical!
I was worried about you guys having enough energy to pull off a Monday morning 8 o'clock show, but it looks like we're fine with this. How did the group get started? Josh, you were behind this at the beginning, weren't you?
So I used to live in Boise for a while, and I was involved with a theater company there called Homegrown Theater, and they wanted to do a Halloween show. And they decided to do puppets. And I, for a long time, since I'd grown up playing in bands, was looking for a topic to write a musical. I just wanted to do something. But I felt like musicals, they have to be really ridiculous because, you know, the idea of someone like seriously just sort of walking down the street and then just singing into song always just struck me as too absurd to actually work as a narrative.
You couldn't imagine Good Morning Boise or something?
No. You know, so, you know, the whole Jets and the Sharks just were snapping and now we're dance fighting. I was like, nope. So I wanted something really, really ridiculous, and Halloween puppet show seemed like a suitably absurd topic for a musical. So I'm looking for something, the worst possible topic to make into a musical, like my friends, we settled on serial killers. So I wrote this short piece called Ritual Murder the Musical, which was kind of a musical satire of Silence of the Lambs. And that went over really well, so we did it again the next year, but did something about werewolves that kind of followed the plot of Grease. And then the third year, I had planned to be part of that a Halloween puppet show and had written this piece about mummies. But ended up moving away, so it never got produced. And so I had this third one, and I was just thinking to myself when we moved back here to Oregon that it would be fun to put on as like all three of them at once as like one consolidated evening. And you know, I thought that'd be a fun Halloween show. And I was thinking that to myself as I was in a downtown bar in Ashland called Oberon's. And I looked over and I saw this woman, Beth Boulay, who I had seen in a play, which I can't remember the name of. What was it called?
An Ill Word.
An Ill Word, which was a sort of update.
It was a modern adaptation of Much Ado About Nothing for the Fringe Festival at SOU 2015.
Sure, why not? Let's say that it was. Yeah, all right, yeah. So I'd seen her in that and kind of insulted her in an ice cream shop once on accident. But
it's a very weird backhanded compliment.
anyway, I just like walked up to her and I tapped her on the shoulder and I said, "Hey, I saw you in a play once. Here's a really weird idea." And kind of like
puppets.
Yeah, and I went on this whole like explanation pretty much of what you just heard, and I was like, I want to put on the show, you know, actors, I have no musicians, what do you think? And she said, puppets.
You said puppets, so yeah. I will take your email address and I will read your scripts because you said puppets, and I had just done Avenue Q at SOU and I fell in love with puppetry, and then this person who also did some stand up and did some weird things, I'm like, okay, we're strange people.
So there was context for it. I mean, it wasn't just like coming out of the blue, hey, you want to do puppets with me?
Yeah,
there
no.
was some small context, yes.
But, it was almost as creepy as it sounds like, Jeffrey. That's really, yeah.
But puppets for me landed in the right place. So,
did your collaboration with the group begin at that point?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. that's kind of how the group began, really. Before, I mean, the plays that we had to start with were the Boise
two Boise shorts and then the one that had never been done in Boise. And so Beth got a handful of actors together and I got some members of my old high school rock band together. And we started meeting up at the Lithia Park band shell and doing open air rehearsals for a while, which was an interesting process. And we kind of put this together as this. It was kind of intended to be like a one night only thing at Oberon's, just like a Halloween special. But so many people showed up that we just kind of got together and were like, all right, I guess.
If we're going to keep doing this, then how are we going to keep doing this? And yeah. I wanted to direct and have it be more focused and more like a theater company. And so we kind of made this theater company rock band collaboration mishmash of
yeah
puppet horror excellence.
Yeah, yeah. And when we decided, you know, we decided this is people are into this, let's keep going with it. And Beth and I kind of laid out a kind of general idea of like, oh, okay, we think we can do this many shows a year, and, you know, how should we do that? And then I kind of scribbled out a bunch of plots, and then I immediately just went home and wrote a new feature-length musical in like 2 weeks or something like that, which was a really, I mean, I don't know why that it just happened, but but it was just like, all right, we're putting on a new show, I guess I'll just scribble it down, you know. That was not like a normal thing to just write a feature-length musical that fast, but and then, you know, we have this like outline of like 2 year like sort of story arc with a couple of like returning characters and stuff, and then it just we did it again, and then more people came, and then we did it again, we added more shows, and more people kept coming, and then last year we're like, all right, people keep coming to this thing, so we sort of expanded it into a touring show. We went up to Portland and Seattle kind of to see what it would be like, and we sold those out before we even left the, you know, got on the road. So,
and so you have another extensive tour coming up with Cthulhu yeah. musical starting in Sacramento on Wednesday, it looks like.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Wednesday moving morning. Out to Hollywood for a festival.
Yeah. You're going to Hollywood.
Yeah, that was actually we're going to be part of the Hollywood Fringe Festival, which is a big 3-week-long theater festival in LA. We're closing it down. We're like there in the last couple days, and we're going to be performing on Hollywood Boulevard, this place called the Hobgoblin Theater, or the Hobgoblin Playhouse. It's a historic theater from a long time ago that they kind of reopened just for this Fringe Festival, and then after we perform there, they're just going to turn it into a parking lot. So we're...
Wow.
Yeah, we're closing that down.
Bringing down the house.
Bringing down the house, quite literally.
Josh Gross and Beth Boulay are with Puppeteers for Fears. Josh is the artistic director. Beth is the director of Cthulhu the Musical, which, as you heard, is hitting the road for a multi-city tour, including Boise, Idaho.
Yeah.
For our Boise listeners, I guess. So, and you can join us on the exchange if you have some questions about this process. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I want people to hear some of the Cthulhu the Musical original
sure.
cast recording. So we have queued up At the Mountains of Madness, and Patrick, let's play a little of that.
Well, the dream is always the same. I'm a sailor on a mysterious island.
Sounds sexy. What's so bad about that?
Everything. Gather close around the fire, listen to my tale of woe. About what happened on a journey long ago.
So that's a bit of At the Mountains of Madness. So these are puppets singing these
things. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Beth Boulay, as a director, talk about the issues of not just assembling all the people to do all the things at the right time and the right place, but then also having things on their arms that they have to perform with. That's a whole additional degree of difficulty, isn't it?
There are many layers in this puppet show. There's the plot, there's the character work, and there's the comedy, and there's the collaboration and chemistry that comes with the improvising and everything. And there's the physical strain of doing the puppetry. So when you are working, it's very important to keep a positive attitude no matter what you're doing because everyone's doing a lot of work, but it's so much fun, so...
I imagine deodorant is important, though, because when you're, you know, in a place where you're raising your arms over your head all the time.
It's pretty much required. I started wearing a bandana during performances just because I sweat so much. Not only am I directing this particular show, but I'm starring as LaGrasse. Well, we're all an ensemble, but anyway, it's real exciting. So we're all doing a lot of work, but the bandanas catch the sweat.
That's good. Let's talk about the story, because and for the folks who when we're saying Cthulhu have no idea what we're saying, you probably have seen this name around in the culture. It's spelled C-T-H-U-L-H-U. We're pretty sure it's pronounced Cthulhu.
Cthulhu.
Cthulhu, okay. Did H.P. Lovecraft provide a pronunciation guide in his book?
H.P. Lovecraft was known for just like stringing consonants together in a way that made Polish people say, what? You know.
We need more vowels. what is the story here? What is the basic happening of the Cthulhu?
Oh, okay. So Cthulhu is a monster that's created by a writer named H.P. Lovecraft from his, I think, 1929 short story, The Call of Cthulhu. And the premise is basically that there's a sort of like long-running historical historical group of cultists that worship this great elder god that came from the stars and sleeps beneath the ocean in a sunken city and sends out like psychic bad dreams to everybody. And that they sort of slowly drive you to madness as you come to be fully aware of the horror of his existence. And it's a very complicated story because it's not really a story at all. It's about a guy who's going through his uncle's papers, and in his uncle's papers, he finds his uncle going through someone else's papers, who then goes through someone else's journal about a voyage on a ship where they see an island that sort of mysteriously sinks and all that. But it has this but the two things that it does amazingly are that it creates this one, this wonderful iconic monster who's sort of like a giant underwater demon with a face like an octopus and wings and bat wings. But it also has this just incredible sense of dread that it creates, where you read it and the language is very foreboding, and it's all about just sort of the dread of existence and just knowing the true face of reality. And so then,
how do you get comedy into that?
Well, what our show does is it splits that main character into a male and female protagonist. So we have that exposition as dialogue. So that helps a lot with explaining all of this, all the backgrounds. And we have flashbacks and to implement those storytelling qualities.
Yeah.
To keep that confusing layers, but still like, explain it in a way that we can understand, but the characters do comment on this is kind of confusing. Like I'm even having a trouble following. Like it's Lovecraft, man. Don't worry about it. Yeah. We're very self-aware about the whole thing.
I mean, some of the comedy comes from the fact that it is a little bit like the height of too muchery. You know, like Lovecraft, for his many contributions to literature, it also is like sometimes you read it and you're like, oh, give it a rest, guy. Come on, you know, like. But so it's. Also, the thing about puppets is that puppets are kind of like have this – people experience them very differently. Like they sort of experience them the way people experience cartoons, where it's not necessarily like a human person saying a thing, but sort of like the idea of a person. So it's this weird perceptual filter, and that means that you can give them lines of dialogue that you couldn't give to a human actor.
Oh, so it's a sense of once removed.
Kind of, yeah. They'll say things that make comedy – you know, like in places that you wouldn't expect it. Like there's a whole thing where they're on a ship and they're like, whoa, we're not getting your sea legs. And the puppets are just like, legs?
They're looking down.
Yeah.
Beth just mimed that motion, looking down for legs that aren't there. Beth Boulay and Josh Grosser from Puppeteers for Fears. We're talking about Cthulhu the Musical going on tour this week to Sacramento, Hollywood, San Francisco, Boise, Eugene, Brookings, Coos Bay, Corvallis, Medford, and Ashland, among others.
Yeah.
I missed a few along the way. It's an impressive tour. So 12 songs. And I wonder, Beth Boulay, how hard it is to handle a puppet and sing at the same time.
Well, your whole body's engaged. You've got to keep your core going. So when you're singing, that core strength is really the foundation of that. And that's the same foundation that you have with puppetry also. I've been performing for many years, so it sort of comes naturally to me at this point. And singing has always been such a joy. And combining it with puppetry has been such a new expression that,
and I guess
the physical energy, it all goes into there. There's nothing really quite like it, I think.
So what dreams do you guys have for this company? I mean, where do you think you're going to go after the Cthulhu? I notice you have Robopocalypse, the musical, coming up this fall.
Yes, now we've cleared the possible threat of litigation from Spielberg. I think we're good on that one. No, you think we're kidding. The big thing right now is we're focusing on this tour, which we're going, and then when we get back, we're going to start work on our fall show, Robopocalypse the Musical, which we're doing all with synthesizers. And when we do that, that will have completed the sort of 2-year arc that Beth and I initially laid out. And then at that point, we want to figure out what the next phase is. I think that the company is kind of ripe to turn into like a streaming TV sort of show, like I'm kind of Monster of the Week, Twilight Zone meets the Muppets kind of thing. But
we've got so many sketch ideas already.
Yeah, I mean, we did a great short piece, sort of cabaret in the spring that I'd like, with a bunch of great short pieces and like the puppet comedy roast of William Shakespeare and stuff. And so we have like all of this material that we built up and all these songs and like running characters. So we think it's kind of like good for that. But we also really think that the live experience is a whole, it's something unique. People don't, there aren't a lot of touring puppet rock bands. And and in this age of, you know, where media is sort of has been sort of devalued, one of the things that really does matter to people when they're deciding what to do with their entertainment time or their entertainment dollar is like, look, where what are unique experiences? And, you know, the whole idea of kind of keeping it live, that's something that you can only if you can only get that live, that makes it fun. That makes it like a big experience that people want to go and take part in. And we think that's part of the reason we've been as successful as we have locally is that people are just really hungry for something, at least in the Rogue Valley, that's something of their own. Because, you know, we have so much theater here, but so much of it is, you know, like legacy playwrights starring actors that were brought in from somewhere else, you know, and a lot of the audiences are not necessarily local because it isn't really like targeting them. But when they come see us.
It's a story you made and people from here.
Yeah, yeah. When they come see us, you know, we do, we try to stick to original pieces and we only cast people who live in the area. And we, you know, so they see it and they're like, hey, these are my people telling my stories. This is like our unique regional culture and that's something I can identify with. And, you know, that's a pretty valuable thing, I think, in the culture. You know.
How big a house do you play for? I mean, if you're playing like the Majestic Theater in Corvallis, you're gonna have a few people in front of you.
Yeah, that's a big one. We usually stick to like sort of 50 to 100 seat theaters, just because the puppets they're only so large physically. So if you get past a certain audience size, the show starts to seem smaller
by
comparison.
It's not even the puppet size. Like it's how you use the puppets. Mm-hmm. Avenue Q, for example, traditionally has an outside the house sort of feel. So. Mm-hmm. And they play to huge houses. We have a more traditional box style house for our puppets.
So just a couple puppets at a time up in, as many.
The most we have is for Cthulhu, as we've had here. He's our biggest puppet, and he takes up the whole space.
Cthulhu is here because we have a. If you look at our Facebook page, you'll see a picture of Josh and Beth and Cthulhu in a three shot in front of our logo. So, so you get a chance to look at Cthulhu before you see Cthulhu on the road. So.
Yeah, I like to keep it to like 100-ish, just even if to only just kind of present a. Preserve a feeling of like intimacy, like you know you're kind of like real there and present. Like you don't want to be too far away. It makes the show feel bigger if you're closer to it. You know.
And the website is puppeteersforfears.com. Okay. I never know. Working in public radio, it's always a work. But puppeteersforfears.com is the place to find the work of Josh Gross, the artistic director, Beth Belay, the director of Cthulhu the Musical, and one of the performers as they take Cthulhu the Musical on the road. Thanks for joining us here at the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having us.